Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.
I talk so much with like my clients and how I train and work. It's always about your environment and the people in it and the energy that you're giving and taking. And it's crazy how many times like a lot of childhood stuff gets brought up in when people are like turning to food. And that is like soothing them and making them feel good and safe and comfortable. And I've had clients that realize like their relationship with their parent, in order to appease the parent, they would always go and get like ice cream or like treats. And then they felt loved by their parent. And now they're this adult and they're like, I don't know why I binge in the pantry. I don't understand that. And they don't realize like that energy is exactly the same. Welcome to the Bond Life Podcast, where fitness, mindset, and real talk collide. This isn't just about workouts. It's about transforming your body, mind, and life. Get ready for unfiltered conversations, expert advice, and the motivation you need to level up in every way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. Welcome to the show. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. You're in for another really good one. And if you are brand new to the show, welcome. I'm so excited that you found this podcast and that you landed on this episode. Oh man, we are like unveiling. I tried to make a new word. The Truths of Modern Medicine. Oh my God, this book is so good. The author is amazing and he is on here with us today. But before we dive into that, I can't believe where we're at in the time of the year. Like if you're listening this in real time, it's December. Like holy crap, wasn't Halloween yesterday and kids like just started school? And I bring this up and just awareness around like how much time is passing us by, like how fast life is going. And if you're not living to your fullest potential and you're not like taking action and doing something, I want you to just realize like how fast things went. Like, I swear to God, I was just talking about New Year's resolutions for 2025 last month. I probably did bring it up again, honestly, knowing me, but you know, just really think about that. What did you say you wanted to do this year and it didn't happen? Did you swear that this year, 2025, it was going to be the year that like you created some change, that you started that business, that you finally lost the weight, that you got in shape, that you really started using that gym membership again, that like you got your butt up and went after what you wanted? And now look, we're at December. How did you do? And I don't ask that in a judging question. I ask it in a loving way of like, how did you do? Seriously, no, really evaluate that. And that's difficult for people to do. And I just want to bring some awareness to like that you get to choose. You really do. And I know we have a lot of people that listen that's like, yeah, but you don't know the kind of job that I have. You don't know the hours that I work. You don't know what I put up with. You don't know the stress in my life. And you're right, I don't. I only know my life and my stress, right? Truly. Like we can't judge and put ourselves in other people's positions. We just can't. But we all know that busy and we all know that shame and we all know that guilt around all of that, not taking action, not choosing it. I'm telling you, I see this all the time with my clients that you can live a busy life, you can still set goals and you can crush them no matter what position you're in, but it has to be a choice. You get to choose to be fantastic. You get to choose whether to travel and still eat clean and not drink a ton and, you know, make bad choices at the food and restaurant and like find the hotel gym, like things like that. Like you get to choose that. No one else is going to choose it for you. And guess what? That path and that road, 10 times harder. You have any idea how much easier it would be to just grab shit food and go out and drink and then crash and then get up and repeat than going back, changing your clothes, making time, fitting in a workout, doing a workout in your hotel room, ordering the salad, being different, being unique, being not like everyone else. Like, but you get to choose that. And when do you choose you? When do you let go of the pity party and actually start deciding like, hey, no, I don't want to live this life anymore. This is not serving me. So just things to think about, especially moving forward and deeper into this month. This is the month where like a lot of things slow down for people because, you know, everything then happens like after the holidays, you know, I will after the holidays, and that's fine. But then after the holidays come and people get on there, okay, now I'm doing it. And they like light this match and it's like, okay, we got fire. And then it dies down and then it fizzles out. And you're like, no, okay, I'm going to light another match. Here we go. Yeah, January, I'm going to do it. And then it dies down. You didn't light anything with that match. And I don't want that to happen again. I don't want it to happen in 2026. I want you guys to start making choices and really think about that, regardless if that's with me or not. That's not my point. I just want you to start thinking of this and having awareness around it. So what needs to change? You know, that's the first question to start asking yourself. What needs to change? What can I do today? Today's guest is Dr. Joe Jacko. Okay. And we're talking all about essentially the healthcare system. And I want you to think about this. What if your doctor's advice wasn't the full truth? Like, really think about that. Dr. Joe Jacko wrote the book. He's the author of the book, Bamboozled, Duped, and Hoodwinked: Keys to Escaping the Tricks, Deceptions, and Half-Truths of the Medical Industry. And he pulls back the curtain on the corruption, the half-truths, and the hidden agendas shaping modern medicine. With decades of experience on the inside, he reveals why chronic disease treatments often miss the mark, how blue suits in the healthcare industry control your options, and what you can do to protect your health. This is such a great conversation around this, and I love having these hard conversations because it just brings light to the topic of you are in control, just like what I was saying before, but you have to choose. You have to go in and advocate for yourself, and you have to fight for you. No one else is going to do that for you. And that plays into everything that we're talking about right now. When are you going to choose? When you go to the doctor, can you fight for yourself there? Request the blood work. Have them look deeper. Find other options besides just a medication, and you can. And this episode is going to light a fire under your butt. All right, everyone, check out the show notes for more information and enjoy the show. Hey, everyone, welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. Today we have Dr. Joseph Jacko on. Welcome, Dr. Jacko.
Thank you, Melissa.
I'm super excited that you're here. We're going to have a good conversation. We are going to talk all about the medical field, your practice. You are the author of the book, Bamboozled, Duped, and Hoodwinked. I've never heard of that term before. Keys to Escaping the Tricks, Deceptions, and Half-Truths of the Medical Industry.
That's right. There's plenty of them.
Dr. Jacko, you are just like flipping tables and like shedding light on all the things. So I know this is going to be a great conversation. So tell me, how did this all start for you? Because you are a physician, you are an author, you are a speaker, you're a longevity advocate, preventative and regenerative medicine expert. Like, you have quite the resume, my friend.
Well, in terms of the book, the way I got there is early in my career, I did more sports medicine, preventive medicine, hormone. Okay. So more functional medicine, really helping people achieve optimal health.
Yeah.
And then I, about 12 years ago, I decided to get into the sick care business. And I like to say I went from the lightness to the darkness. And I really got frustrated in dealing with patients. And all I had time to do was prescribe medications and got away from the real fundamentals of health. Ugh. And it just was really frustrating. And then the whole situation in terms of the book kind of culminated with COVID-19, the management. And I think there were a lot of unethical things that were done during that time. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a lot of research. I got to the point where I felt someone has to speak up and say something. Now, there were plenty of others that were certainly more vocal, more visible.
Right.
But after having all this information, I just thought it was unwise just to not share it with the patients and the consumer.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, did anything happen during your career that you were like, that's it? Like, I can't do this anymore. And that like really took you on a different path and like, I've got to say something. Like, was there a certain incident or was it just like building?
It was building. But even during my training, I did an internal medicine residency training, and we would just see patients in the hospital. We discharge them, you know, a week, sometimes a month later, they'd be back, and we were just spinning our wheels and it just didn't make sense. We weren't really making any progress. We're on this treadmill. And that's what led me to go into more sports medicine and preventive medicine and focus on the fundamentals of health. And then when I came back, in that 20 years, there's so many new medications that I knew very little about, so I had to learn about them.
Yeah. And
part of that education was meeting with pharmaceutical reps.
Yep.
And I quickly caught on to the games. or the way they present their data and their studies in the best lights. That's obviously with the goal of getting us to prescribe medications.
Right, right. Yeah. I know a little bit about that. I've talked about this before on the podcast that someone, I'm just going to say someone in my life at one point in time, I was very close to, was in that field. They still are, and they were in the pharmaceutical field. So I got to see firsthand what the dinners looked like. And in back in the day, I don't think they can do it the same anymore. I think things have changed, but like, I got to see the late nights and the doctors being taken out to dinners and hockey games and like all the things that happened and all the presentations and the lunches that, you know, were taking place. And I'll never forget this person telling me that I educate the doctor. They only know what they know because of this medication or like whatever, because I told them and because I'm educating them. Right. I'm like, that's right. Scary.
Right. And so much physician education is like that. You're only being taught what they want you to know.
Yeah.
Whether it's from a pharmaceutical company or a medical school or research center or even a professional organization.
Right. Right. Okay. So these like these hidden forces, right? Like the pharmaceutical industry and stuff. How is that shaping what doctors recommend to their patients? Like, how does that affect my care?
Well, first of all, they control a big part of medicine in ways that people don't fully understand. They're funding everybody. They give money to medical schools, academic centers, professional societies, organizations like the American Cancer Society, American Diabetic Association, and they control the medical publication too. So as a physician, if you're reading the journals and you see that, you know, antidepressants are, you know, working everybody, then you're more likely to prescribe them. But they hide the cases where things aren't working so well. So there's kind of what we call publication bias in the medical journals. So all that forces obviously influences how you as a physician will practice medicine. So it's kind of geared more, basically it's geared towards you prescribing more and more medications. We've adopted this mindset that every condition is a result of a molecular mishap. Mm-hmm. There's a molecule or medication out there that can correct it.
Right. Well, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what's wrong with that? You know, it seems to be working, right? Like,
right. Yeah,
I have something going on with me and there is a medication to fix my, let's say, cholesterol. And so now I take a cholesterol medication and that helps me. Like, what's wrong with that, Dr. Jocko? Like what?
Well, the drugs do work on one hand, but it doesn't mean that there aren't other things more natural that would work better. So another thing is the way they present the data. Like for you were talking about cholesterol medications. You know, you see the commercials that your risk of heart disease will go down 30 to 50%. But what does that really mean?
Right.
What it really means is you have to take the medication for about 5 years for one person to get that benefit.
Right. And I know I bring up like cholesterol and I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh no, it's hereditary. I eat right. I exercise and it's still high. And I'm a firm believer that there is a time and place for both.
Sure.
100%. Right. But I mean, let's be real, to address obesity, diabetes, or even cholesterol still too, that takes more time, work, energy, education, right, effort, follow up. I mean, like all of it. And my doctor's not going to do that.
Right. So, yeah, to really practice medicine well, it's a big educational endeavor, and we don't have time to do it. And if you don't have those other people that you just mentioned in your practice, then many patients are never going to get that education component that they need. Mm-hmm. Like in our practice, we have a dietitian, we have exercise physiologists. So if you come in and you're overweight,
nice,
or you have high blood, so you can one-stop shop, and you can go from my office to seeing them and get that component that you need to improve your health.
Right, right.
Right.
What are other factors that, like, why aren't I presented with all of my options, you know? And for me personally, like, there were times where I knew I needed blood work done. I'm like, I haven't had blood work done in forever, but people look at me and I'm very physically fit, you know, and even my doctor will do this to me. And I'll be like, you know, we haven't really checked anything in a really long time. I'm kind of new to this insurance. Like, we probably should check things. And then come to find out, I was like severely anemic, like really bad. And there were a couple other things that were flagged and they were like, oh, and I'm like, see, if I hadn't pushed for myself to even just have blood work done, no one would even have checked like these options. It wasn't even like an option. Like, what are your thoughts behind that? Because I know there's a lot of listeners, especially women, that are like, yeah, I asked to have my hormones checked. And they were like, no, do you have any symptoms? They're like, no, not really. Then you're fine. Or they get the blood work done and they look at the ranges and they're like, yeah, you're in the normal range. You're fine. And the woman's going, I'm not fine.
Well, you make up a good point, and that is you need to trust yourself and your instincts.
I agree,
And be your own advocate. So when it comes to like the blood work and particularly the hormones, you're exactly right. So many physicians, particularly GYNs, so many of them are against hormone replacement. And because of that, they won't even bother testing for them.
And then we just had the big reveal the other day of the warnings being taken off.
Right. And part of it too is, you know, the goal is for you to stay young and healthy as possible. So you really want to get some baseline blood work in your 30s while your hormones are kind of optimal.
I agree.
So you have that baseline so that when you're 40,
yes,
you know what was optimal for you when you were 30.
Right.
And you have something to shoot for if you are going to prescribe something.
Mm-hmm.
And that other point too, you make the reference range. So the reference ranges are really their statistical ranges in most cases. And they include 95% of the middle of the population. So you got 2.5% are high, 2.5% are low. They have nothing necessarily to do with what is good health. So many physicians will look at that, whether it be, particularly with thyroid, is a big one, where they say, well, your levels are normal, yet you're constipated, you're tired, your skin's dry, you're losing your hair, you have brain fog, you have all the classic symptoms.
Right.
But because everything falls in that range, they say it's not your thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say you're depressed.
Okay, so how do we, I'm again, acting as a listener, what do we do with this? Like, how do we find a doctor outside of like the norm? How do we take action beyond, you know, this is your insurance, this is a doctor you go to. Do we have control?
Yeah, your best bet's going to be to find someone that outside the insurance world. Now, that's not doable for everybody and does get expensive.
But I agree. I keep hearing this too.
Because the physicians, most physicians are employed these days, and there are very various ways that they are under control. For instance, I just saw a physician had commented that he was terminated. This was on a social media. He was terminated because he was getting bad patient reviews. And a lot of other physicians chimed in, and one said, well, at our institution, if you don't get a 4.9 out of 5, they start withholding bonus money from you.
And what's the rating like based off of?
Patient satisfaction. So if, in some cases, if you're not giving the patient what they want, you get a bad review by
that
patient.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, what if they were like, no, I want you to change your diet and your exercise. I'm not going to write this prescription. Do this and let's follow up in 6 weeks. That could really piss off a patient.
Right.
One star for you.
That's right. But then they're handcuffed by the clinical guidelines. You know, do I keep the patient happy or do I satisfy the clinical guidelines? Because if you're not following the guidelines, you get in trouble that way.
Oh.
So you're really caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
And it's just like teachers trying to keep, you know, the students, the parents and administration all happy. You can't please everybody.
No. And that's so not fair because then people, we don't get the treatment that we deserve. We don't get the care that we deserve because there's so many like other factors in there.
So there are still physicians within the insurance world that are very good, and they and they'll provide good care and give you the options. But many times you are going to have to go outside the system.
Yeah.
So you want to look for someone that has some additional training. So first of all, every physician is traditionally trained. You know, probably 98% stay there, and you got 1 or 2%. You know, will gravitate to functional medicine, integrative medicine, anti-aging medicine, longevity medicine. They all kind of overlap and do similar things. So you would have to find someone in your area that has that background. And you are going to have to probably save some of your own money and be willing to pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to look, you have to go outside the system to get all the options.
Yeah. And I think when people talk about it more too, like listening to this, having these conversations, you know, listening to this episode and like starting to question things and then bring it up with your friends, post about it on social media. I think the more like conversation we have around this, it'll get people talking and you'll find someone who's like, oh yeah, I go to this person.
Right. Like a good place for a referral is someone you know who's happy with their physician.
Yeah. Yeah. But like this conversation just isn't happening. I don't know. People are just so like, I'm sick. This is happening. And I go to my doctor and this is what they said. And then that's Bible. Mm-hmm. That's what we look at. Like.
So in the book, I spend a little bit of time talking about how we are groomed to become patients and medically dependent.
Ooh, tell me about that.
So when you first think about it, your very first encounter with the medical profession is you were still in utero. You weren't even born yet. And so you're being carted to physicians' offices and doctors' offices, and then you're born and you have several doctor visits those first few years of life. So as patients, we just, you know, seeing doctors just as part of life, it's kind of what you do.
Yeah.
And you're also taught to trust them and not, in some cases, not question them. And so if a lot of people just whatever the doctor says, they're going to do. And now the doctor is also controlled by their training. And we're told to trust our training, but we're only being trained. Our training is very crafted to serve what would be the pharmaceutical medical complex.
Ugh, it makes my tummy hurt.
Right.
So then after that, I mean, even as a child and into the grooming, I mean, we kind of learn really early that if you're sick, you go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. If you're hurt, you go to the hospital.
Well, and if you're not hurt, almost everything you need these days, you need to see a doctor for permission to do something.
Yeah.
You want to travel out of the country, you might need a vaccine. If you want to play sports, you need a physical.
Yeah.
And so all these touch points are just opportunities for, you know, the traditional medicine to tell you what they want you to know and do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me more about this book. Like, at what point in your career were you like, I'm going to write a book? I have got to get all of this feelings and knowledge and everything that I know on paper. I need to get this out to the public. When did that happen?
Well, I've had a website since 2010, and right now it's JackoMD 180. So I've been writing articles. I probably have 1,100 articles.
I saw that.
So I've at times have tried to say, you know, I could turn a couple of these articles into some books. And I sat down, I just couldn't do it. I just didn't have the time.
Uh-huh.
But then when COVID came around and I saw the, I alluded to earlier, some of the unethical behavior, I said, something's got to be done. And I, at that time I had changed practices. So I'm in a concierge cash-based practice. I'm really part-time. So I actually had a block of time where I could sit down every day and work on the book. And I literally worked on it every day since like March 1st of 2024.
Okay.
So I just, and I didn't really, never wrote a book before. I didn't know what I was doing. So I decided, well, I'm just going to write down what I think. So mm-hmm. I just started writing down things. And pretty soon they kind of coalesced into chapters. And it led me to do more and more research. And before you know it, I had over 500 pages.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Today's episode is brought to you by Simply Greens. I am so excited to share this new.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's All-in-One Nutrition Shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry. You can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your cachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off. That's kachava, kachava.com and use code SHAKE.
Favorite daily hack with you guys because it has changed how I feel from the inside out. It is Simply Greens, S-I-M-P-L-I, Greens gummies. I've been taking them for a few weeks now and even my kids are on board and I'm loving how simple they are to get my greens in. No giant smoothies, no mess, no powder, no guesswork, just chew and go. Here's what's inside. Each gummy is loaded with real nutrients from 14 green veggies like spinach, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, plus superfoods like spirulina and chlorella. They're 100% plant derivative, gluten-free, organic, with no cheap fillers or synthetic junk that your body struggles to use. Simply Greens also includes vitamin B12 for energy and metabolism. Yeah, we all need that. Vitamin D3 for bone health, zinc and echinacea for immune support, and so much more. Why gummies? Because consistency is greater than perfection. A gummy is easier to take, it's more enjoyable, and it helps me stick with it. When I feel good, I show up for my workouts, my family, and my life. I've totally noticed better energy, less brain fog, and I feel more grounded. And my kids, yeah, they're getting those same daily nutrients without me nagging them. They go out the door, I hand them their gummies, they take them, they go. And because you're a listener of the Bomb Life podcast, guess what? You get a deal. Use the code BOMBLIFE at checkout and save 25% off your order. You are welcome. Plus, if you spend $35, you get free shipping. If you've ever struggled to eat enough greens or felt overwhelmed by the powders and the shakes, just didn't like the taste, this is the solution. Real greens in a real simple format. Back to the show. It really started off with just you like, I should really get this, these articles into a book. Right. But this isn't something that like most physicians talk about. Were you worried about, you have bamboozled and duped right on the cover of it and hoodwinked? Like,
well, I'm at a point in my career, I feel secure enough that
good for you.
If I get some backlash, I'm okay.
Uh-huh. What's like the number one thing that you hope people take away from your book when they read it?
Oh, that they're being deceived, clearly deceived, and not given the full truth. So there's a couple points in the book. One, patients aren't getting all the information they need. Two, the medical research is tainted. There's a bias, and studies are manipulated, particularly drug studies. Number three, this concept of evidence-based medicine is kind of, it doesn't live up to its billing, because in part because the science is tainted. Mm-hmm. And we think that you're just supposed to follow the evidence, but we forget you have to take into account a patient's desires, their experience. A patient's experience is evidence. So if you tell me that you've had sinus infections and sinus surgery, and after 3 or 4 days you're not better, you need an antibiotic, well, that's evidence for you. That's personal. You know, we're supposed to be practicing personal care medicine, but or personal medicine, but we're practicing population-based medicine instead. And the other point, too, science is always wrong until it's right. You know, very rarely is science right coming right out of the gate.
That's very
true.
That's
why you have studies that contradict each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were like the most unethical things that you saw happening during like the whole COVID-19 thing? What was the collapse of like medical ethics that you saw going on?
Well, number one, a lot of physicians were really harassing their patients to get vaccinated. And during that time where it was under emergency use authorization, it's still experimental.
Yep.
So as the physician, you're really supposed to be neutral because you don't have any data to really support. We don't know how well it was going to work. Mm-hmm. So you had to be honest with the patient about that. The other issue was you had the FDA and the pharmacist kind of playing doctor too. Pharmacists, like when it came to some of the drugs they did not want us to use, like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, if you wrote as a physician, if you wrote for those prescriptions, some pharmacies would not fill them. So they are, in fact, making patient care decisions. But the state pharmacy boards and the medical boards seemed okay with that. And then you had the FDA. You probably saw the ad with the horse. You're not a horse. Why are you taking ivermectin?
Oh, yeah. The whole Joe Rogan thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about that is what's Premarin? It's estrogen from horses.
Pregnant mare's urine.
So it's like they just contradict themselves on some of these things.
That's okay, but the other one's not.
And then patients were being bribed to get or coerced financial incentives.
Mm-hmm.
Some practices here in Central Ohio were giving their employees $1,000 to get vaccinated.
Yes.
And that is, if you read the Nuremberg Code, you're not supposed to be coerced, finagled.
Incentivized,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know several people that their job gave them like a $500 bonus or gift card or check if they got vaccinated. Like, what is happening here?
Right. And we never did before for any other vaccine. So that kind of, why this one?
Right.
And I don't have the answer to that. I think I know, but there's probably a lot behind that.
Yeah. No, I think it's important to hear this side and hear these truths about, what happened. Because, let's face it, in the future, something else is going to happen. I don't feel like that madness that we experience is a one-time thing.
Oh, no. So since we had this gain of function era that we're averaging a pandemic every 3.3 years. So we've had 6 pandemics in a 20-year period of time. where you have to go back almost 90 years to get to the other six previous pandemics. And that's despite the world becoming more civilized, more developed. You would think there would have, you know, there would be fewer pandemics these days.
Yeah.
But there's more.
It's crazy. It blows my mind. I did so much like acting, and I still do, you know, and an agent and a manager and all that. And I was one of the only people like on the roster that didn't get vaccinated, but I also have a heart condition and I was terrified of it. And I had a lot of questions and no one could give me answers. And I'm like, well, then no. And it's sad, but it like really impacted things.
So just my own personal experience, I was in a group of about 506 physicians. I was one of three that didn't get vaccinated. You know, try going up against that kind of
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. Quite honestly, the only person that really gave me a hard time was my own medical assistant. But
you're fired.
But what happened is I had gotten COVID right before the rollout of the vaccines. And there's a lot of studies that came out that in the summer, and I write about them in books, but from five or six reputable institutions, that there's really very little benefit if you've had COVID already to be vaccinated.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And I did too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's okay to have healthy conversations around this. And I think people have calmed down a lot more. But like right now, I think we need to hear from physicians like yourself in your opinions on both sides. And I think before a lot of people were like, oh my God, like stay away. You know, you didn't get vaccinated. You don't wear a mask. It just got like so weird. And I think people are like waking up now.
Yeah, the other thing too is just about the vaccines. If you look at other things we've done in history, and I write a little bit about this in a book, you know, there are 20 missions building up to each other, the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo we spent billions of dollars in a decade so that it was safe for 12 men to walk on the moon. These vaccines were tested only in 22,000 people during that.
I know.
Before we unleashed it on everybody. And, you know, is that science? Is that ethical?
Yeah, I know. We were just at my pediatrician's office the other day with my daughter for a whole vaccine like situation. Okay. I was like just livid. And that's another time and place. But during that appointment, the physician, I love him. He's a great guy and he's great with the kids and he's honest and you know everything. And he was like, yeah, I was forced to take the COVID vaccine. And he said that he was in bed. My daughter keeps bringing this up and we keep talking about it. She's like, he said he was in bed for 5 days after that. He was more sick than he'd ever been in his whole life after that. And she was just like, oh my God, like, mom, did you hear that? Like he was forced to get it. And then he was so sick and everything. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I'm surprised if he's a pediatrician, he was kind of resistant to it.
Yeah. It sounds like he was one of the outsiders.
Yeah. Hang on to him.
And then, yeah, he's a great guy. And he's like, I didn't have a choice. He's like, what was I going to do? You know,
right.
I'm like, oh, I hate it. Okay, let's talk about lifestyle, because why lifestyle beats prescription dependency any day? Because this is like my jam. This is why I'm like, let's move, let's lift, let's like look at nutrition, because I get so many people that come to me, you know, for like coaching and training, and they're very much like, well, I'm on this medication and this medication. Okay, fine. I want to know, like, how are you sleeping? What does your food look like? How much are you actually moving? And so many of them, it's like all these prescriptions or, you know, a few of them. And the answer is like nothing on the other side. They're like, well, I work all the time. I don't really have time to go to the gym. I don't know how to cook. And I'm like, you do know that the solution to most of your problems that you're describing to me right now is activity, nutrition, and sleep.
Yes. So you touched on probably the three or four big habits that are most important. So probably the most important thing is what you put in your mouth.
Yes.
And your skin too. So you gotta be careful what you, particularly women with the cosmetics. Second thing is exercise. Exercise is probably the closest thing we have to the perfect drug.
I agree.
And if you look at because it just benefits every organ system. If you look at most of our medications, they block or they inhibit some process in the body, which in the short run may be okay. But we don't know long-term, if you're on something for 20 years, how is that altering your biochemistry or your physiology? Mm-hmm. And so you know, there's a place for medication, but you don't want to jump right to it in most cases. You want to focus on the exercise and nutrition. I'm sure you're aware of the blue zones, and we have people throughout the globe who are living to 100. And what I find kind of fascinating is they're living to 100 and they don't know anything about science.
Right. How about that?
Yeah. We have a lot of longevity experts who I doubt any of them love to be 100.
What are the biggest benefits you see of exercising and like weight training?
Oh, everything. Exercise, well, obviously lowers your blood pressure, improves your metabolism. It's healthy for depression and anxiety. It's a great stress reliever. It actually gives you more energy. You know, we seem to think that if I don't spend energy, I'll have more, but you really have to bend energy to create more energy.
Yes.
And the body really is the only machine that actually breaks down faster from not being used than used. You know, we need to use our body. Mm-hmm. And the one area that probably is most neglected would be flexibility and strength training, particularly in the elderly. And we have to maintain our muscle mass. That is critical to mm-hmm. enjoying health in our later years.
Yeah. Well, and people don't realize, like, maintaining that muscle mass means you must pick up heavy shit and put it down. Like, there's no other way to, like, build and maintain that muscle mass.
Right. Yeah, it's just like your range of motion. You could, if you don't move your arm above overhead, you know, a little bit every day, there comes a point where you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And if you aren't lifting 20 pounds, there's going to come a day where you can't even lift 10. Mm-hmm. So now it's inevitable. You are going to lose some strength. And I'm 65 and I've kind of noticed I'm losing a little bit myself.
Sure.
Despite the training, but I'm still a lot more functional than my peers who aren't exercising. So exercise is important. I think there are other things that, in terms of lifestyle, that are critical are having a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And I just saw an article about the importance of forgiveness.
Oh.
That takes a big stress off. If you have some anger or bitterness towards somebody, there's an internal flame going on in you mm-hmm. that is causing you to age a little quicker.
I would love to see the science behind that and the data behind that.
I had the article. I just saw it today. It was from the Epoch Times, Epoch uh-huh. Times. And they highlight two women. One's a nun, I think in her 90s. The other one lady's 98. And there's like 9 longevity tips in the article.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, the amount of energy that we exert and we don't even realize it when we hold like that hatred and resentment mm-hmm. in our heart, like, oh my God, that's like running a marathon every single day and not recovering.
Right.
You just go.
Well, you have to realize you forgive someone not for their benefit, it's for your benefit.
Right. Yeah.
Forgiving somebody doesn't mean you have to forget. It doesn't mean you have to make them your friend again.
Yeah. Or that you're weaker or, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I talk so much with like my clients and how I train and work. It's always about your environment and the people in it and the energy that you're giving and taking. And mm-hmm. it's crazy how many times like a lot of childhood stuff gets brought up in when people are like turning to food, and that is like soothing them and making them feel good and safe and comfortable. And I've had clients that realize like their relationship with their parent. In order to appease the parent, they would always go and get like ice cream or like treats. And then they felt loved by their parent. And now they're this adult and they're like, I don't know why I binge in the pantry. I don't understand that. And they don't realize like that energy is exactly the same. Like you are still soothing yourself. You are still kind of like holding on to that. And so like we dive into things even that deep in the program, but it's crazy how we don't realize that those relationships when we were a child and this current situation with those relationships now, how much they impact our health and our fitness journey and our weight loss and everything. And everyone's just like, tell me what to eat. Give me a workout plan. I'm like, I don't roll like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we all need to do some self-introspection and
mm-hmm.
try to find out.
I completely agree. I completely agree. So tell me real quick, longevity. Okay.
Okay.
What can I do to stay young? You're like,
I suspect you're already doing everything.
I am, but tell me again. Like, I want to be as young as possible. I want to age and get. I want to be older, but I want to look as young as possible as I get older.
Outside the sleep, the diet, the exercise, purpose, forgiveness, also social networks are very important.
Okay.
Longevity. Now, in terms of like medical interventions, there are things, regenerative medicine techniques. So stem cells, peptides can certainly help in that regard. Most people wait too long. So you want to get those interventions, particularly for arthritis and joints. You want to consider those treatments earlier and not wait till you're 60.
Okay.
And sometimes you get past the point where it can help. So those are things that can be talked about. Some of the medications are being used. There's a lot of talk about rapamycin and things like metformin that might have, which is a diabetes drug. And rapamycin is used to prevent transplant or organ transplant rejection. They seem to have some anti-aging benefits, which are currently being studied.
Really? They put me on metformin when I was trying to get pregnant with my second daughter. Like because I'm freak and I track and know my body very well. So I knew exactly when I would ovulate. And the time between when I ovulated and then started my period was super short. Like that luteal phase was like super short. And so they put me on metformin to, I think, extend that a little bit to give the embryo a chance to implant, you know, and whatever. Okay. And yeah, after like 1 month, I got pregnant. I wonder why.
I'll take that one up. I'm not familiar with that mechanism.
Yeah.
But that's an area that's being researched more, is repurposing drugs that already exist.
Mm-hmm.
We have like 9,000 rare diseases for which there's no FDA-approved drug.
Hmm.
And so that's an area where, and part of the reason is there's no motivation for the pharmaceutical companies to make a drug to help a handful of people. You know, it's not cost.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right. So that's going to be a big area of research, I think, is the repurposing of drugs, particularly for cancer. Here's some dismal statistics on that. So two studies, one in 2020, one in 2021. The 2021 looked at 15 years of cancer advancement therapies, and the one in 2021 looked at 30 years of advancement. So in 15 to 30 years of cancer advancements, we have gained a whopping 2.4 to 3.4 months of survival. That's it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's shocking.
That's sad.
Have all that research.
All that.
And all the money that people who might be listening to this have probably donated.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really translated into any meaningful results, unfortunately.
Right.
And that's why you want to really prevent disease rather than to treat it. It's a lot easier to prevent than to treat.
Right. Well, I think your book too, educating yourself and learning all this, like, because it really is like a guide that empowers your readers, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that plays a major role in preventative medicine. Like,
right. You want to go into your doctor visit kind of armed and prepared. You know, you don't want to be nasty, but
right.
You might want to ask, do you think I can try this? Or what about maybe we consider this? You know, maybe pose it that way rather than say, you know, I'd rather if I did this and this, I wouldn't have this problem.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah. And you have to practice. Like I always say this, it's not my quote, but no one's coming to save you. You know, like no one's mm-hmm. going to fight for you like you're going to fight for you. It's just like being a parent. Like no one's going to fight for your child the way you will.
Right.
And I think it goes in the same thing with our health. I had a biopsy done on just like this. It was just this tiny little like speck, like a little freckle. And I'm like, that's new. That's weird. I should get that checked out. And then luckily I did because it came back not good. So they went in and they took more and they said, yeah, this is like pre-cancer. You know, it's either going to go one way or another and it's not looking good. And they're like, we want to get you started on a treatment. And essentially it was like a topical chemo or something. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Wait, what? Really? I'm like, can't we just go back in and take more until it's clean, until we get a clean, you know, results from it? And they're like, oh, well, that will leave a nasty scar and this is going to be a better way. And I'm like, I don't care about a scar. Like I can sit there, numb me up, cut it out, stitch me up. I'll be fine. And I had to fight. And luckily I had a dermatologist and a plastic surgeon like going back and forth with each other. And plastics was like, no, if this is what she wants, do it. We can try and make it pretty. And derm was like, no, we need to treat this now. And I'm like, you know what? You two talk to each other. Like you two figure this out. But I had to keep pushing. And I'm like, I don't want chemicals or treatment or anything on me if we can't, because you're just worried about a scar. But my whole point is I couldn't believe how much I had to fight for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just would have been like, okay, well, if you think that's best, like, who knows what that would have done or, you know, I don't know. But my point is like, I had to really fight for myself. And that's hard because I felt like, who am I going up against this big, well-known dermatologist? And I'm just a little no one, you know.
But part of it, you have to understand your own risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And physicians have to understand their own risk tolerance because we tend to project ours onto you.
That's true.
And we tend to be low risk tolerant people. So we're going to, you know, if you're going to err as a physician, you want to err on the side of doing something rather than not doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. Dr. Jocko, where can people find you? Where can they follow you? Where can they get the book? Give us the lowdown. We'll put everything in the show notes too. So if you guys are driving or whatever, we'll put it all there, but let's hear it from you.
So the book can be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Awesome.
And then the website I mentioned earlier, jackomd180.com.
Okay.
And then my practice website is wearethearmory.com.
Okay.
And then in terms of I could probably just shoot you over all the links to the social media because I don't have them with me.
That's okay. Right now. We'll put them in the show notes too. But Okay. Basically, Jacko MD, like we're going to find you.
Yeah, there's not too many with my last name.
Yeah. No, they'll find you. But this has been such a great conversation. I can't thank you enough for coming on. And just, I don't know, just bringing awareness to all of this and like letting people know that it's okay to question things.
No, you should question things. But one thing I would say is be curious, stay curious.
I love that. It's a great, great piece of advice. But thank you again for coming on. Everyone, go check out the website, get the book, start educating yourself. And everyone, stay safe, stay healthy. Until next time.
The Bottom Life Podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content shared here is not intended as medical, legal, or professional advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before making any health, fitness, financial, or legal decisions. The opinions shared on this podcast are personal experiences and insights. So if you need expert guidance, go find the right professional for you. Thanks for listening.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.